I wish it was over. No, we won't take a hand on it. But I tell you, when December 25th comes and we breathe a sigh of relief that it's over, for whatever reason. Now, you think this is bad. As some of you know, we were missionaries in the Philippines for a number of years, and before Mexico. They literally start celebrating September 1st. And you're saying, oh, Christmas music starts? Oh, kill me now. Can't take another jingle on that. And they actually will celebrate through January. Because if you know Three Kings Day, if you're familiar with that one, you know that comes after Christmas on that. And so it's tradition in our house, and our kids have picked that up. And if you're friends with our daughter, Mayla, you saw her posting on September 1st that the music has started. And you say, wow, I can't believe that. How is that possible, you know, on that? And part of that, why that is because of all the stuff that we put on ourselves to celebrate this holiday, whether it's getting the meal right, getting all those Christmas cards out, make sure you got everybody's Christmas gift bought, you know, all those things that put the pressure on this. But friends, what a better holiday that we can celebrate than Christmas. My goodness, if we boil it down to what it is, that's what it is all about, is why did Jesus come, rather than get swept up into the commercialism. And we all say, well, we're not going to do that next year, or some may say that. And yet, it's such an important thing that we need to be reminded of why we do it. I had to look it up. I didn't know what the second Sunday of Advent was, but it's hope. Now, in Mexico, where we live, last Sunday I was preaching in a church, and they asked me to come and tell them about the American Thanksgiving history. Why does America celebrate Thanksgiving? And because the pastor wanted to introduce that celebration to his church, because they don't celebrate it in Mexico. There may be families that do and individuals, but the United States is one of the few countries, you know, Canada, United States, and I think there's a couple more, but most of the world does not have a Thanksgiving holiday, you understand. And then there again, we get maybe swept up in that, but the pastor wanted to do that. And I told the people, I says, you need to celebrate this, not because it's an American holiday, but because it's a very biblical thing that we need to be reminded to do, to be thankful on that. So that's, you know, we talked about that. And you might sit back and think, well, what do the Mexicans have to be thankful for? One, they have to live in Mexico. My goodness, how can you be thankful in living in a country like Mexico? Well, friends, there's lots that you can be thankful to be living in Mexico. Let me tell you, the people are, you know, just, there's so many that are just so neat. Yeah, there's many that you wouldn't want to be around, but man, God has blessed us with some really neat neighbors and some tremendous people that we work with in churches and things like that, that you would love to have a part of your lives, let me tell you, very much. And then we work with a group, and I talk about it in the prayer letter that you received there. This is sort of an extra thing we do that the God just dropped in our lap is we came across some deportees. You know, we're on that side of the border where we actually do encounter these deportees, you understand. And like one of the deportees, his name's Frank. He served in the U.S. Rangers for 13 years. And when he got out, he'll share this with you every meeting. And you're welcome to come down to our English fellowship. You'd be more than welcome to come down and meet Frank. And he'd tell you, he says, no, I just messed up and didn't fill out the paperwork when I was in the Army. He got out and he got in trouble, and they found him, and he got what they call the golden ticket back to Mexico, you know, on that. But his wife doesn't speak Spanish very well, as well as the other deportees. Their wives don't speak Spanish, you know, you understand. They their families come with them. And so we've started this little English fellowship based around English, you know, we read the word and have a little Bible study and pray and heavy on the fellowship to bond our hearts together is what we're doing down there. And then they each have churches they go to. And so you'd think, wow, how can, because you, and I understand it's a political hot potato, this illegals. And this is not a political statement one way or the other, you understand, just sharing what on the side. But when you meet these couples, and one young man that was raised in Vegas, went to college in Vegas, had a great job in Vegas, he got himself in a little trouble, but he wasn't, his parents are legal. You know, his whole brothers and sisters are legal, but his parents didn't fill out the paperwork on him. He got up, and he got the golden ticket and from Las Vegas and found his way, you know, to Mexico. And you'd think, wow, imagine with that you go through life, and then all of a sudden, your whole life changes. And you have to go and live in another place that is not home, even though your heritage is that country. What can you be thankful for? Okay? Now, you that have been down to Mexico, you know immediately when you cross the border, we're not in the United States, whether it's by smell or by looking or whatever else. And I'll be the first to tell you the infrastructure in Mexico is not like the United States. And, you know, just one little thing that's just a slight thing, but it can build with all the other slight things, is we never know when they're going to pick up our trash. Okay? Sometimes it may be more than over a week. And sometimes it's two or three times a week. Crazy on that. One thing we just praised the Lord recently is our street got paved. And you know what? And now some of you here in New Avil, we have sidewalks. We have sidewalks in Mexico because they put them in. So, and we're, of course, grateful for that because, as you know, the dust here, it fills the whole house. Now, what Mexicans need and what we need is exactly the same, and it's what the second candle represents, and that's why this time of year is so neat. You know, yes, they have needs. Like, I'm thinking, I'm wonderful, I appreciate this heat. I don't like being cold at all, and the temperature is about the same between Tecate and here. The difference is people there have no heating systems in their houses, okay? So imagine, and some of you probably got up, but you went and turned on the heat maybe, you know. There, they don't turn on the heat. So you see them, they all put on more layers. So they're like Eskimo snowmen. They have several layers of jackets, and that's how they cope with the weather, and many blankets and stuff like that. And yes, you always appreciate a nice blanket, a nice coat, or things like that, a nice place to live, and things like that. And yes, there's some places that you would see people live and you say, wow, they need a new house. And so hundreds and thousands of people come down and build houses. But what they need is not another house. They don't need more stuff, okay? Let me tell you, and I can go more into that with you if you're so desiring. They don't need more stuff. They need, well, let me read a scene from a movie. You've probably seen it, the Shankshaw Redemption. You know, if you've seen it, you know about it. This is at the end of the movie, or parts of the movie. Andy, you know, the main character there. Andy says, I had Mr. Mozart to keep me company, and it was in here. And in here, that's the beauty of music. They can't get that from you. Haven't you ever felt that way about music? Red, his friend, says, I play a mean harmonica as a younger man, lost interest in it though, didn't make much sense in here. Andy said, here's where it makes the most sense. You need it so you don't forget. Red says, forget? Andy said, forget that there are places in this world that aren't made out of stone, that there's something inside that they can't get to, that they can't touch, that's yours. Red says, what are you talking about? Andy says, hope. And that's what the people of Mexico need. They need hope as well as people here. I like what Red said at the very end of the movie. He's narrating, you know, he's on this. He says, I find I'm so excited, I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a free man can feel. a free man at the start of a long journey whose conclusion is uncertain. I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope. Now, that word hope is used in many different ways. We use it to use it as a wish. I wish this would happen, or we could substitute, I hope it happened. In other words, there's a certain uncertainty about the thing. You know, that I hope this will happen. I hope we have a good time at our Christmas meal. I hope, you know, I can get all the presents done. I hope, I hope, I hope. And that's more I wish. You get the understanding of the way that hope is used. But now this is where it's different, and that's why the second candle of Advent is different, because it's talking about the hope, and the Bible uses it in a different way. And some of you are already ahead of me, and you already know this. And turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to see this hope in two different ways in this chapter. Hope is presented in two different ways. Some of you have deep-seated prayer requests you've been praying. And you pray and you pray and you pray. You want it to be answered. You've been praying to God, then whether it's for a healing of somebody or wisdom or guidance or some part in your life, you have been praying for something very meaningful in your life on that. And you may spend each day on it. You may each week. You may just pray. But look at Luke chapter 1, and let's start at verse 8. Okay, verse 8 there, and we see. I'm sorry. Let's go up to verse 5. Yeah, I hope I get this right. All right. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both what? Righteous. They were good people. In the sight of God, you know, they're not just righteous before men. They're righteous before God. Man, you want to be righteous before someone? It's God, not everybody around you. You want to be righteous. Yeah, that's for sure. And then it says, they walk blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. How good are these people? Man, sign him up. You know, that's who, there's our pastor, you know, a man that's blameless. Wow, that would, yeah. But in 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. They were old and they couldn't have kids. You know, if you have family or you know about this where, the wife can't have a baby because of whatever, you know, the pain that they go through. You know, it's very painful, you know, for them. And you can just imagine, no children. Now, it happened after, verse 8, now it happened that after he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple. You know, they're chosen to go in the temple maybe once a year. It wouldn't be a very much an occurrence, maybe a one-time life experience to go into the temple to perform the service. Then in verse 11, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and what? Fear gripped him. Now, you can understand that. An angel, yeah, it'd be probably pretty terrifying. But remember who this guy is. He's a priest. He walks blameless. He's righteous before God. He knows about God greatly, okay? And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been... Now, how would you like this? Whatever those prayer requests are, an angel shows up at your doorstep, and he says, your prayer has been answered. Man, I think, wow, praise the Lord. I'm rejoicing. God's answered my prayer. But what did this righteous man that's blameless respond? You know, what does it say there? Someone tell me. What does he say to the angel? Yeah. I mean, hasn't he been praying for this? Hasn't he been, I hope we get children. Okay. Do you see this hope? It's a wish. It's not a situation that he knows for sure. See, he's got uncertainty. He's been praying. Yeah. And that may happen to some of us. We would be praying, and that may have happened to you. You've been praying for something, and God answered it and gave it to you, and you said, "Oh, why did I pray for that? God gave it to me." You know, the old joke, I say, I needed patience, so I prayed for it, you know, and God gave it to me. I wish I hadn't prayed for patience, you know, and all that. Well, here, Zacharias, he got his petition. He's got an answer. You're going to have a child. And it says, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at the birth, and so forth and so on. And in verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, how will I know this for certain? Oh, now, this guy's treading dangerously. You get the picture. This is the angel of the Lord. He's coming, who is the representative of God Almighty. Do we really take seriously that God is truly the omnipotent, the all-powerful God? That, yeah, we like to think of him as our friend, and he loves us. But man, he is the Almighty God. And this angel is come to deliver the good news that our prayer is answered. And he says, how can I know that for certain? Whoa. And so the angel, he says, I am an old man. My wife is old. No, he says old man, you know. But he uses it nicer, at least they write it. My wife's advanced in years. There you go. Cool. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And what does he say? You will be silent. You will be unable to speak. I hope we get children. You see that? I wish we would have that. Now let's shift scenes. We go on down the chapter a few verses, and we come to verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Of course, the sixth month is after that encounter with Zacharias. Okay? To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, the two people have some things in common. Zacharias is an old man and past being able to produce children. Mary, on the other hand, is young and is a virgin. So she's not going to have children. You see some similarities here. But it's interesting. Yeah, you notice, how did the angel greet Mary? What did he say? Hail. What does it say in your Bibles? Huh? Yeah. Favored one. Wow. Now, did it say it to Zacharias? No. At least it doesn't record it. Hail, favored one, you religious, righteous man. No. Goes to Mary, who hasn't attended any seminary or Bible school, just a young lady, and calls her the favored one. The question must raise in our minds is why? Why is she called the favored one? Now, it doesn't specifically say this here. You can find other places in the Bible that talks about what is a favored one with God. If you see that, you probably can make the assumption that Mary displayed some of those characteristics. Okay. So it says, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering, what kind of salutation was this? The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. Wow. Man. You know, that's something that many want to know, that we are favored by God, that God likes us. You know, yes, we know God loves us, but man, does God like us? Are we favored? And yet, Mary was told by an angel, you are favored by God. Whoa. talk about a Christmas message. And in verse 31 and 32, it talks about you're going to receive a son, you're going to bear him, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High, and so forth and so on. Verse 34, Mary says to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? You know, kind of a similar question than what Zacharias. You know, how can this be? I'm old. How can this be because I'm a virgin? Well, we know the attitude is different because of the response that the angel gave to one or the other, okay? And in verse 35, the angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Most High is going to be upon you and overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And then in 36, it talks about Elizabeth. And in 37, it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Wow. What a contrast in two stories. Yeah. What a contrast between two people that, you know, were blameless before God and favored by God. Two people. First one said, I hope we get children. Yeah. And when it came right down to it, it was more of a wish than an actual knowing that it was going to happen. Mary, on the other hand, after that encounter, and she was told she's going to have a child, then it becomes a certainty that it's going to happen. That's what really the Christian hope is all about. It's the certainty to know of the expectation of the reality of what God is going to do. That's how the Christian uses hope. Well, I know we may always say, I hope this and I hope that, but for the Christian, the hope that we have is assurance that God is going to act in the way he does, that he said. That's what happened with both these characters. You know, that's in the Bible. With Zacharias, he says, it's going to happen, but you're not going to speak until the child is here. Right? I mean, he didn't. Not a good thing, but it wasn't that serious of a punishment per se. You know, he didn't get cast into hell or anything like that. He just was mute for the 9 months. You know, which for some that can be a very hard thing. And for some wives, you could say, wow, that's not so bad, you know, on that. And, of course, then the child was born, and you can read it what happened there, you probably have, is when the child was come and they blessed it, and then he immediately opened his mouth, and it says he praised God. You know, he just praised God. But Mary, on the other hand, you see what she says. He says, behold, the servant of the Lord. Hey, I'm your person. You said it. I'm here available to do what you want because of the certainty that I'm going to give birth to the Son of the Most High. Whoa. He says, my hope is that God's going to complete it. Now, in this, there's some characteristics of hope that in this story of Mary and the angel that we see here that gives us a fuller understanding of hope. And that's why it's part of the Advent season that we celebrate of hope, because there are things about this season that surely you look forward to, whether it's family getting together or that you can give something to someone that meets their need or something. There's something about this season that regardless of all the trappings that pressures us, that underneath it, that it gives us hope. That, or as this passage says, you know, if we look in verses 28 through 28 to 30 there, it says, in 30 it says, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Man, we find favor with God. What are some of the feelings that come with that? Peace, joy, you know. And this is what we see in hope. Hope brings us peace and joy. Man, if you don't have peace and joy as part of your hope, you don't have what the Bible describes as hope, you understand, okay? Then, we go on that some of the other things about hope is seen in the verses 34 and 35 and 36, you know, where Mary says, how can this be? And the angel says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you're, and all this. And it gives you a feeling of security. That's what the Christian hope does, is that it gives security in how we live for God, okay? It gives us a strength. Because there, and you can Google this, but there's articles on people that don't have hope, and it's been proven that if they don't have hope, they can die. You know, they get to a place, they don't have hope. But if people have hope, they can do many things. It gives them an inner strength that they didn't have before because of that hope. They'll live on. So Mary here is assured of the strength that God is going to provide is by the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and all that. And then the Christian hope is seen in verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. This hope has to do with a spiritual side. There has to be a spiritual work going on in the Christian hope to make that the hope that the Bible talks about. Now, this is I like this as an example of hope that God gives. Okay, now, you know, in the book of Psalms, it's a wonderful thing that you've probably gone to when you've been down, or, you know, it's just a book that ministers to your soul and your spirit. But you realize there's a lot of Psalms in the Bible that's not in the book of Psalms. And here is one of those. Starting at verse 46, this is the Song of Mary, or it's another psalm. It's just like the Psalms in the book of Psalms. Now, here's, it's interesting, but in Mexico, one of the classes I teach at the seminary is the book of Psalms. I tackle a little bit different than other classes. The final is for my students is they have to write three psalms from their life. Because we look at the psalms, and we look at the different kinds of psalms there are, and then they write the psalms based on the type of psalm that we have studied. You understand? Okay? Now, here's something to challenge you through your, you know, if you like to journal, is you write a psalm. Okay? You write a psalm. Psalm 136, if you know that one, and every verse, it's about 26 verses, I believe, and every verse in that one says, the mercies of God is everlasting. You know, you've heard that phrase. But every verse ends in that. But the first line is something else. And it talks about God being victorious and talks about the enemies of God, but it goes through there if you read it. You know, you start talking about how God has worked in your life, and then you write that as a phrase, and in the second phrase you write, for the love of God is everlasting, or the mercies of God is everlasting. You see how that works. So here's Mary. She sings this, and it's a psalm, but it's expressing the emotions on her heart, and it's expressing the hope she has found that the angel Gabriel came and gave her, okay? And look, in verse 46, it says, my soul, what? Yeah. And then in 47, it says, my spirit has rejoiced. You get the picture. This little girl that God has come and says, you are favored, and her attitude after saying, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And now you read what she has here. She, man, is this a little girl that's either late teens or early 20s? No, she is definitely, you can see why God favored her when you read things like this. 49, the mighty one has done great things for me. Man, can you testify to that? That God has done great things in your life? You know, it took you more than 3 seconds to think of one. Yeah, you need to, you know, give this some more pondering about this. But she says this. And then, verse 51, he has done mighty deeds with his arm. Verse 52, the last part, he says, has exalted those who were humbled. He has filled the hungry with good things. And in 54, in the second line, in remembrance of his mercy. Anyway, you can read the whole psalm there, but you get the picture. Mary had the hope of God that she's going to be the mother of the Son of God. That it wasn't, I wish I'm going to be the mother of the of God, the Son, you know, the Son of God. No, I hope, my hope is that I'm going to be the mother of the Son of God. And she expresses in that song, you know, the rest of the story. But there's a song out that, you see, we get tied up with this baby in the manger. You know, it's a nice story, and we celebrate this. But there's a song out, I think it's a fairly new song, but the Ball Brothers, I know you've seen it, because there's posting it on Facebook. You know, if you haven't seen it yet, someone will probably post it, or you'll go and look this up on YouTube or something. And they sing a song, and I do like it. I'll have to admit, Gail, my wife Gail, she's the one that brought it to my attention, and I thought, oh, this is really, you know, it's really neat. And it says, it's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shiny star. It's not about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's not all about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I've found within. It's about his precious blood that saved me from my sin. Repeat the beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's love. Nailed to a tree, it's about every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about that stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday, so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. Friends, this holiday season, you know, I hope it's a good season for you, but I hope it's not only a season that communicates the hope of God, but in turn, how do we give hope to others? Well, the answer is there in this song that the Ball Brothers sang. It's about the cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the reality that you came so long ago, that you came and you were born in that manger. We praise your name for that. And as we think about that, pray that you will always remind us that it's about the cross. Thank you for the hope that you give us to live today and for eternity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.